As was announced, the scripture reading this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. Again, that's the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. I'll be reading from the ESV. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire.
Good to be back tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. We, again, as was announced, just rejoice with the baptism of Joshua. It's wonderful to see our young people obey the gospel. Of course, it's wonderful to see anybody obey the gospel of Christ, and we recognize that. But we know that the devil is after the young people especially, and it's always just a wonderful blessing that someone has that kind of heart, willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He certainly is blessed, and we look forward to working with him in the gospel for many years to come. And we're just thankful. I'm thinking about all of the young people involved in our service. We're really blessed here at Brown Street to have a good group of young people. Let's continue to encourage them and pray for them. Paul was, of course, a wonderful example for us in many different ways. But one of the great things about Paul that sometimes we sort of overlook was just his humility. He certainly was a very humble man. We're mindful of one of his most famous sayings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, "It's by the grace of God that I am what I am." And in fact, you might remember in that context there that he referred to himself as the least of all the apostles. And that's kind of what humility does. Sometimes it causes us to have a view of ourselves that's not altogether accurate. Paul, we know, was not the least of the apostles. He, even in that context, he admitted that he worked harder than all the other apostles. And certainly he had as much authority as any of the other apostles and probably accomplished at least as much and probably more than the rest of the apostles. But in his humility, that was just his view, particularly as he stated again in that passage, because he had persecuted the church. He didn't even view himself as being worthy to be an apostle. But again, by the grace of God, that's what he was. But we can learn from Paul and his humility. Certainly, Paul, from a human standpoint, he had accomplished many things. As we've been saying, he was an apostle of Christ, baptized with the Holy Spirit, had miraculous powers and could transfer those miraculous powers to other people. He had been to the third heaven. He had accomplished much for the Lord with regard to causing individuals, leading individuals to obey the gospel, even the setting up of many local congregations in various places. Certainly, he had accomplished much, and still, he was very humble. And it's important for us to learn from him with regard to that, because one thing that God hates, and we recognize hate is a strong word, but one thing God does hate is pride. He doesn't hate the prideful, but he hates pride. You might remember over in James chapter 4, turn your Bibles there and you see how James put it in this simple passage of scripture, James chapter 4 and beginning at verse 6. This is what James wrote. James chapter 4 and at verse 6. He says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the fact of the matter is, there has never been a time when that wasn't true. God has always opposed the proud. And there's good reasons for that. Let's just take a few minutes tonight to look at three reasons why God opposes the proud. Number one, pride causes people to forget God. That certainly happened to the children of Israel. Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And as we turn over here, I'll point out that this is actually Moses warning the people about not being overtaken with pride and it causing them to forget God. But as we look at their history, it's certainly what he warned them about, they didn't take heed of, and they ended up doing the very things that we read about in this passage. But Deuteronomy chapter 8 and at verse 11, Moses warned them, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. He wanted them to be careful that they did not forget God, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Their pride would cause them to forget God. And especially as it relates to the many things that God had done for them and the blessings that they had because of God. Being in not only free from that Egyptian bondage, but now having their own land and living, as it says, in good houses and so on. And yet, instead of praising God for all that they had, they forgot God. And that's because of pride. Pride causes us to forget that many of the things that we enjoy and that we have in this life, it's because God is so good. But instead of praising God and thanking God, pride causes us to think it's all about us. I have these things that I have because of what I have done. I live in a nice house and I drive a reliable car and I have all of these different things all because of my hard work. I get up early in the morning and I work until night. I have these things because of what I have done, and we fail to appreciate that it's only because of God that we're able to have these things. No, you're wrong, preacher. That's not true. Again, it's because of my own work. But who blessed you with the health to have a job that can allow you to have these things? Well, it's not the physical part of it. It's my intellect. I'm so smart. And so I have gone forward and received promotions and stuff because of my brain. And well, who gave you the brain that you had? I always love the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is, when Paul asked the Corinthians, who, by the way, they had a terrible problem with pride themselves. But he asked them, what do you have that you haven't been given? And it's a wonderful question for even us to contemplate, because the fact of the matter is, anything that we have, any good thing you possess, if you stop and think about it, you only have it because of something that someone else has done or helped you with. And we don't have anything that we got completely and totally alone. And Paul's point in 1 Corinthians is, since that is the case, why are you bragging about what you have? I think it's 1 Corinthians 4, I believe, right in that area where Paul asked that question. But it's a wonderful question. The Israelites, of course, forgot that. as they were living in good houses and living in a land filled with milk and honey and having all of these things, they gave themselves credit and they forgot God. Notice what it goes on to say even here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It goes on to describe some of the things that God had done for them. Again, verse 13, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. And so his protecting hand was with them. And it goes on to say that he brought them water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with the manner that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. And so he not only protected them, but provided for them in their daily living. But look at verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And so again, it's my power, the power of my hand that has gotten me this wealth. Don't we have to be careful that we don't develop that same kind of thinking? Let's not forget God. God hates pride because that's what it causes his people. We're talking about his people now. This is what it causes his people to do, to forget him and give him the glory and the honor. I'll tell you something else it causes us to do. It causes, again, his people to break his laws. It's really amazing that you can have someone who is a law keeper so far as the gospel is concerned, a child of God who is obeying God, but then pride creeps into the heart and he or she begins to be a lawbreaker. That's why God opposes pride. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Chronicles. You remember this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We have a perfect example of this sort of thing. And again, pride has done this over and over and over again to God's people. This is the story of Uzziah. And we are a little bit familiar with Uzziah, those who attend the Wednesday night class, because you remember we've just about to wrap up Amos, and Amos lived when? In the days of Uzziah. And you might remember from our study, and this gives us a little more insight into it, that they, the Israelites at the time of Amos, were living in prosperity. Everything was going great. And we kind of see the origins of that here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 at verse 3, it says Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And so that's insightful, isn't it? Again, everything as we read through this, and we don't have time to read the whole chapter in context there, but Uzziah, he again ended up reigning for 52 years. Very young when he started. But he ended up reigning for 52 years. And the first part of his life, everything went wonderfully. And we know exactly why, because it tells us right here that he was an individual who did right in the eyes of the Lord. That was the key to his success. It goes on to say at verse 5, and he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And so that's why when we read about Amos and Israel, or the both Israel and Judah, Uzziah, of course, is king of Judah. But we know both Israel and Judah, they were prospering. Both kingdoms were prospering. And here's, at least so far as the southern kingdom is concerned, here is why. God was blessing Uzziah because he sought him. And as long as he did that, God promised he would continue to bless him. And so when you read down through this text, you see that indeed he was prospering both financially, militarily, in every way. The kingdom was being enlarged. And Judah was just doing wonderfully because they had a king who was doing what was right in the eyes of God and who was seeking the Lord until he stopped. And you wonder, why in the world would a king? Everything is great. The kingdom is great. They're prospering. Why would you change anything? It's amazing how man thinks sometimes. I often think about that. I think of lessons that have been preached, and we talk about our own history and the restoration movement and how that there was a time when the Church of Christ was the fastest growing church in America. Can you imagine that? Like the over all of denominational everything in this country, the Church of Christ was the fastest growing religion. And so they came up with a plan in the restoration movement to set up an organization that could help them evangelize. And that ruined things. Why would you ever? You're the fastest growing church in the country. Things are going great. People are being baptized. The kingdom is expanding. Why would you want to change anything? That's just the way man thinks sometimes. And that was Israel. Things are wonderful. Again, they're prospering. They're expanding. But then we come to verse 16. And the Bible says, but when he, that is Uzziah, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. He was humble before. The evidence of that was his doing what was right and seeking God in everything. But the more he prospered and the kingdom prospered, the more he got to thinking. Again, remember, pride causes you to forget God. And it caused him to think, all of this is happening and the kingdom is expanding because I'm so great. So pride got into his mind. And what did it cause him to do? He says that he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You know what King Uzziah knew? That was the priest's job. Nobody was allowed to go in there and burn incense in the temple area. Not even the holy place. Only the high priest, of course, could go into the most holy place, but it was only the priest who could go into the holy place and burn incense and do that sort of thing. And the king knew that. But his heart, when he grew strong, was filled with pride. And he just forgot about God and his will. He no longer cared. He's king. He's powerful. He was going to do what he wanted to do. And even when the priest warned him, he didn't listen until God struck him with leprosy. And he died, of course, in shame. A man who everything he did turned out right. He lost it all because of pride. It's easy to see why God hates pride. He opposes the proud because it causes them to forget him, and then it causes them to purposely break his laws. And we've seen that, by the way, repeat itself in the church over and over again. Even congregations like this who have been sound and scriptural and then they start doing well and growing, and next thing you know, they're doing unauthorized things. Pride gets in the way. We have to be very careful about that collectively and individually. But there's a third reason, and it's sort of related to this, only it involves more. We've been talking about things that God's people do. But pride also causes people to refuse to submit to God. And that would include his people in some ways, but also even people in the world. The great example of that, or one of at least the first examples that we have, is Pharaoh. Remember that? Turn your Bibles to Exodus, the third chapter. We remember the words that he spoke. God, of course, in this context is commanding Pharaoh to let his people go. Exodus chapter 5, I'm sorry. Exodus, the fifth chapter. And you notice at verse 2. Well, we'll just restart at verse 1. It says, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Simple command. Let my people go. Let them go hold this feast. What was Pharaoh's response? Verse 2 says, but Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. I've said many times, a statement of arrogance and ignorance. He didn't know God. That was to his demise. We know that. There's a lot of people who don't know God. But the fact of the matter is, even when Pharaoh was getting to know God through by way of the plagues, like you remember, there were 10 plagues, and the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, and that finally broke his spirit. But after 3 or 4 plagues, certainly he started to realize that he was dealing with a powerful God, but still he would not let his people go. He would say, oh, okay, I'll let them go. And then he would have a change of heart. Pride. He would not submit to God. That's what pride does. And yes, while that's true, there's a lot of people who are not saved, who won't really listen to the gospel, who will reject the gospel of Christ. It's not always because of pride, but very often it is. Pride stops people from submitting to God. But even in the church, even among his people, sometimes we won't do what God commands us to do because we let pride get in the way. Let's not have the Pharaoh mentality. Let's not ever think to ourselves, who is God that I should obey his voice? That's pride getting in the way. Humility says, yes, I need to obey God. Even when I don't like what he's commanding me to do, it doesn't matter. He's the creator. I'm the creature. I need to do exactly what he commands me to do. That's humility. That, by the way, was Paul, remember? Even when God would command him to do things or restrict him from doing things that he wanted to do, he would simply humbly submit to God. So many people don't do that because of pride. It's easy to allow our hearts to be filled with pride, to be in a place where we're doing what God commands us to do and living the way he wants us to live. But then, because of the circumstances of life, maybe you get a few promotions on the job. Maybe you start making a little more money. Maybe you're now deemed in society as being somebody important. And now your heart is filled with pride and you stop doing what God commands you to do. Don't let pride get the best of you. Could happen to any of us. But remember, God has always opposed the proud, and he always will. But you know what else is true? He'll always bless the humble. And that's clear in James chapter 4. When you go back over to that passage of scripture, God will exalt you. If you will humble yourself, if you will lower yourself, God will lift you up. Don't you want God to... I much rather God exalt me than me exalt myself. Let's learn the lesson from these passages of scripture. There are several other things we could talk about, but there's good reason why God hates pride. And again, I know hate is a strong word. There are not a lot of things in the Bible that it says that God hates this or that, but there are a few, and pride is one of those things. Let's be like Paul. Let's humble ourselves. No matter what you accomplish, even spiritually, no matter what kind of talents you have and what you do for the Lord, let's all humble ourselves in the sight of God and let Him lift us up. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not humble yourself and submit to God? And by the way, the commands of God are never grievous. They're always in your best interest. And certainly obeying the gospel of Christ falls into that category. Blessings, wonderful blessings await you in Christ. But you have to humbly submit. You have to do what Joshua did this morning. You have to repent of your sins and make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and then be buried in the waters of baptism. And when you come up out of the waters, when you're raised up, you'll be raised to walk in the newness of life. You'll have a brand new start. And it would include having fellowship with God, the Father, with His Son, and with the Holy Spirit, and fellowship with all of His children. And you can have that tonight. The greatest thing, you'll have the hope of heaven. You'll be on your way to heaven. You can start that trip this very night, but you have to respond. Humbly, you have to obey the gospel. Will you do that? I hope you will. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.